One. The Egyptian Theater is a nonprofit organization.
It's 8:30 now. Good morning. Well, early voting is underway for the Park City Council race with six candidates in the running. The primary on August 13th will narrow the number of candidates down to four. Two will eventually be chosen. One of those is incumbent Alex Bitwinski, who's looking to be elected to another four-year term. Good morning to you.
Morning, Leslie.
So for those who may not have met you during the last 4 years, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, 14 years ago, I moved here full-time, retired business person, and was fortunate enough to be able to retire at a very early age. And I got here in Park City and, you know, lived the life of biking and skiing and had a great time. And, you know, you can only do that for so many years. And about 6 years ago, I got very involved in the community in terms of I got on the board of Recycle Utah. I was on the board of the Park City Rotary, city appointed to the walkability thing. So I think that's what people would be interested in terms of my background. And I've really enjoyed being on council. I think we've accomplished a lot.
All right. So why did you decide to run for re-election? I mean, is it just something, again, to do, keep you busy?
It was more of wanting to finish some of the things we've already started.
I mean, we get that answer every time. I mean,
well,
you could say that for the rest of your life.
That's true. Well, after this 4 years, perhaps I'll think more seriously about retiring again. But yes, you could do that for, you know, forever. And I think I've enjoyed it. I work with a great group of people. We have many issues on the table that still need to be resolved. And I think my skill sets help with doing that.
Yeah. 4 years ago, when you were considering your first campaign, you told us that you told yourself that you can make a difference to Park City. So what has that difference been?
We have been able to do a bunch of interesting things. One was negotiate the water deal with Summit County, Summit Water, and Weber Basin. Another one was to actually begin implementing the walkability study. We did the first $7.5 million dollars of the bond, and we've approved the second $7.5 million. Those are two key ones.
Yeah, I guess what I'm looking for, though, is that those could have been done without you. Are you taking credit for that?
No. I think our group is an incredibly good team. We each have our own viewpoints. We're able to work through them. And when you do a big negotiation like the water deal, you know, everybody has input into it. Everybody brings something different to the table in terms of what's best for Park City. So I don't think there's any one thing that I can singularly take credit for. But I think as part of the group, that's a big part of the group dynamic.
We should note the water agreement still hasn't closed, though.
That's correct. I said negotiated.
Treasure was an issue 4 years ago, and exactly nothing has happened. Or, I mean, maybe a lot that we just don't know about. But, I mean, on the surface, nothing has happened.
Yeah, that's been somewhat of a frustration, I think, for all six of us. Well, Andy and Dick coming on later. It's very complicated. There are people with a view that it's too big. There are people with the view that, well, you know, the Sweeneys swept all the density off the mountain, so they should be entitled to build. Then the question is, what are they entitled to build? And all of that took time. And it finally has gotten to the point where the key players that are involved are all talking to each other. There are a bunch of different people that are outside the actual development specifics of Treasure. And the city's taken and moved into more of a facilitator role. We've continued to keep the three parties at the table. So I've said publicly, and I'm hopeful that we will have something that we can point to by the end of the year, because that's one of Dana's goals, and I think that'd be a great thing to send him out on.
Yeah. You've said that you're the finance guy, and you do spend some time scrutinizing the budget. And you've also said that, you know, you're part of the legacy of city councils that have had a balanced budget with no tax increase for a couple of decades now. Certainly, you came into office at a really difficult time. It's, of course, just the downfall with the recession. And, you know, Park City's been through those before, certainly. But now that we've seen development up, we're seeing property values up, I mean, you take pride in not raising taxes, but why aren't we talking about tax decreases when we've got potentially more money coming in?
You know, I have to confess, Leslie, I'm not sure how you go about decreasing taxes. I'm not familiar with the tax laws enough to be able to find out whether that's doable. I have a sense that it's difficult to do that. I don't think we can just go in and say, okay, we're dropping the taxes. There are some other factors. And I said, I'm not familiar enough with the tax code that could happen. And having said that, we don't just go out and spend money because we have money. We have put a significant amount of money into our capital improvement fund. And I think you could call that a rainy day fund. So that, I mean, we can't take that money and use it for operating, but we can do things like the Main Street improvements. We can do things like the Deer Valley Drive improvements. As I recall, you don't think that's very convenient, but I think that's true of all of us in terms of the traffic.
You know, we certainly, though, have seen our water rates go up over that time. We've seen an increase in the sales tax. So to say that, you know, we haven't raised taxes, well, I mean, just because you didn't vote in the tax increase that, you know, the populace did, I mean, taxes have gone up.
That's true. With regard to the sales tax, that was a voter-initiated increase that I would put in the category of putting the tax increment on our visitors who make the biggest impact on our infrastructure. That was that one. As far as water is an enterprise fund, which means it works under its own set of rules in order to do the things that need to be done. I mean, you know, our water system is aging. You know, our water comes from the two mine tunnels, 40% of it. So we have that's why we got into the water deal. So in my mind, we haven't the bonds are a separate issue from tax increases. Two of them, walkability, and which I was not on council at the time, but I was on as a member of the committee. Those were voted for by the citizens. We voted for an open space bond. So, in the context of tax increases, I think they're basically self-imposed in a very good, positive way.
Yeah, and I think part of that sales tax increase is going to some of the improvements that we're seeing here on Main Street, those granite sidewalks. What do you think about this? They have kind of an impression of being rather trashy, no? I mean, are you happy with them? They're like white pants. I mean, every stain that you've ever spilled on them shows up.
It's still there. I know that's something of a learning curve, a little bit problematic. And we've talked about different ceiling issues. I think part of the problem is because it's lighter than concrete, those blemishes, to put it kindly, show more. And we're very aware that it's a problem. We've tried various sealers, and I think as it ages and we have more ability to figure out what's doable there, when you do sealers, you have to worry about slips, and that too is a very complicated issue. I agree with you, though. I think it needs some cleaning up.
Yeah. The proposed substation relocation, this has been going on for nearly 2 years, and then all of a sudden the city says, no, it's going to stay where it is. Staff has spent an enormous amount of time not only planning for the relocation, but also figuring out the CDA to finance it, only to have, again, you know, all of these people doing all this work to have the council just pull the rug out and say no. It just seems like, where was the leadership there?
Rocky Mountain Power. you know, believe me, Leslie, we are as frustrated with that whole scenario as anyone in town. You know, the staff time, as you said, the amount of resources that were put into that was just incredible. I mean, we're trying to make it work. We're trying to make Bonanza Park as good as it can be, which is not to say it still won't be good. And then at the 11th hour, Heber Power and Light went to Rocky Mountain Power and said, you know what? We've got a better idea. And this is what we're going to do. And we have no control over that. Basically, you know, Rocky Mountain Power is the 800-pound gorilla, and they do what's best for their collective ratepayers. So they have to do the cheapest thing. And apparently, these are all things that we didn't know that were happening behind the scenes. The whole Heber and Power Light potential was something that they never told us of. You know, if you look back on that, we kept having these deadlines from Rocky Mountain Power that kept getting moved back. And as it turned out, it worked out in our favor.
All right.
I think, you know.
Yeah, I just
except
think,
except for the
though,
work part.
Well, exactly, because we still don't have a general plan that's finished. And I think of all of the time that the planning staff could have spent, you know, really moving ahead on that.
You're absolutely right. And you know, the good news, if there is any, is that we are now very focused on the general plan. We have both City Council and the Planning Commission working on different elements of it to move it along to the point where we hope we have a workable document by the end of the year. It's one of our goals. We have a project manager who is whipping us along to completion. And that's been something that's frustrated me for as long as they've been working on the general plan. And it's just frustrating in the sense that we haven't been able to put the resources to it. And now we are, and it's going to happen.
All right. I wanted to ask you, I mean, you have said that you're a good consensus builder. Some have also said that behind closed doors, you can be rather loud and even forceful. I mean, so is that how you build consensus, by throwing tantrums?
Well, I think a tantrum might be over the top, but I do have strong opinions. And I think sometimes in order to make a point, you have to be perhaps a little more over the top than might otherwise happen. That was something that when I was in the business world served me very well, which was to really get to a point where people understood the seriousness of my position. I don't want to say it's an act, because that'll ruin the ability of it going forward, but it certainly is mostly premeditated.
All right. Wanted to also ask you, of course, of the recent letter to the Park Record editor by Bruce Dennis, basically condemning the record for filling its pages with endorsement letters, basically free ads in his mind. One particular letter he noted was the one that he said glorified you, and if I can use his words, the words were elevated you to the stature of Abe Lincoln, and that was written by your wife. So do you regret that decision of having your wife read it? I mean, you don't have any other supporters who stepped up, or she wrote such a nice letter, or
Leslie, in hindsight, having listened to all of this, Anita wishes that she had said it differently. It was an oblique way that she said, no one knows better than I, and that's fairly oblique, I think. And people have commented on both sides, mostly to the point of that they didn't think he understood or understands politics in Park City. It's what we do, okay? We do signs. We do letters. And if you think about it, who else is going to write about you except people who know you and respect you and understand what you're doing? So it's part of the fabric of who we are. And I don't think that necessarily needs to be changed. I think there will be continue to be letters of endorsement, some solicited. We obviously want people that I know to write about what they think of the job that I've done. And several of the letters are unsolicited. And I think that's the way people, not necessarily saying, gee, Bob, who are you going to vote for? There's an element of that. But I think someone like a letter writer that's unhappy with that process, he never contacted me. He knows nothing about me, all right? So he knows whether or not any of that is true. And I have to admit, I've never felt myself anything like Abraham Lincoln.
All right. 30 seconds, why people should reelect you to another four-year term, or at least to get you through the primary.
Hopeful. Primary reason is experience. We have a lot of things on the table. We have a lot of things that need to be done because obviously they're incomplete. For me personally, I'm on two governor-appointed commissions. I've done a lot to help rehabilitate our record with the state and with the state legislature. I'm on a variety of I am the liaison of a variety of committees. The Historic Park City Alliance, our Planning Commission, which is, moving towards the general plan. So I have involvement in the community. I have involvement in the city government. And hopefully they think I've done a good job, and people will reelect me.
All right, Alex, thanks for coming by.
Hey, thanks, Leslie.
That's Park City Council candidate and City Council member Alex Butwinski. It's 8:45.